I'm not sure if I have a bad reputation or not. Huh? Wow. And that song, huh? Praise the Lord. You guys have a good week?
Yes.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Good, good. All made it back. Another week, praise the Lord. Cool. Well, interestingly enough, Blaine's devotion is pretty much spot on. I have to praise the Lord for that. Something that came to my mind when I was sitting there, when the very last thing Blaine said is, he prepared an amazing place for us. God has prepared an amazing place for us. You know what? You get to choose to go there. It's your choice. Isn't that cool? You get to choose to go there. Huh? That's pretty amazing. God lets you choose to go there. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. We've got a ways to go this morning to get where we're going. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne. Father, so many things. Oh, Father. Just order them. Put them in order, Father. We can just praise you, magnify you. We can see who you are and how you work in our lives. Father, we praise you. We thank you. Father, be with me this morning. Just let me step out of the way and use my voice. Use me. Say what you want said. I'm just asking that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're praying that, Father. We're asking in your name. Holy praise you. We love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You guys see the sermon title this morning? Don't see one, do you? God sees you? Huh? Isn't that cool? God sees you? Huh? You think God sees you? Yeah, I think he does. You know, I was looking at this. You know how you do? You start looking at scriptures because you're preaching, and you think, well, what's the Lord want to say today? And last week hit really hard on prayer, and you know he was in I think he touched a couple places, and I wanted to just hit those really quick. I just want to read these to you. You don't have to go there. I just want to read these to you. In Philippians, I want to read this to you because. How important is prayer in your life today? How important is it? Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, and this is amplified, it says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace. Shall be yours. The Amplified says that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation to Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace. Wow. That peace. That peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? You believe that God is capable when you go to Him in prayer, when you talk to God, do you believe that He is capable of doing what you have asked Him to do? Do you believe that? Do you think, well, God, here we go again, going to mess this one up, oh man. I mean, is that how you feel about God? I mean, we're talking about God here, okay? We're talking about the ruler of the universe. You know, what really hit me this week is, you look at the news, all this junk that's going on. The world's messed up, isn't it? You think, where's God in all this mess? I got a word from God for you. Heaven rules. Heaven rules. It doesn't matter what this mess looks like. God's agenda is still going to happen. It's still going to come true. It don't matter what's going on. It's still going to happen. He's God. And I thought, man, can we see that in something? We need examples, right? We need to see this. Romans 8:28, what's it say? I got that memorized, right? We are sure to know that God, being a partner in our labor, all things work together and are fitted into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. Wow, that's a mouthful too. Do you believe that verse? Is it speak to you saying, you know what? Yeah, I believe that when God says something, He's going to do it. I believe when I talk to God and ask Him for a petition of something in prayer, I say, God, I need this bad. Huh? Does He answer? Sometimes it takes Him a little while. Because He's got to get me in the right place to accept what He's going to give me. And then maybe it's not exactly what I want the way I want it, but it's His agenda, not mine. So, where are you going with this, Matt? Well, I don't know. Let's go back to the Old Testament. I want you to see something. We're going to go back to the book of Daniel. A lot of stuff going on in Daniel. I want to show you a couple things here that I had never really seen before in Daniel. You know, we've all read it. You know the fire furnace. You know, we know the lion's den. We know all this stuff, right? Well, in Daniel chapter 1, we're going to do a little history here. In Daniel chapter 1, Judah, the land of Israel, is overtaken by the Babylonians. It would be like Russia coming here and taking over the United States. You got captured. They took people back with them to their country, okay? Think about that. Everything you know has changed. Think about that. Everything you know right now has changed. They come in, take you captive. They don't, it's not hostage, they take you captive. You're going to do what they tell you to do, and it don't matter whether you like it or not, because you're going to do it. So this is kind of the situation we're in, okay? All right? How old are you, Jackson? 15? Yeah. Jackson's 15 years old. Young, good-looking young man over there, huh? Well, Daniel and his three companions, 15-year-old men. Like Jackson, his age, 15 years old. They're taken into Babylon. And the king says, you know, I want to take some of these good-looking, smart, like you, Jackson, intelligent, you know what I mean? Use your head kind of guy, right? Mom shaking her head, yes? Okay, we got it. All right, okay. Take some of these intelligent kids, and we want to train them up in the way that we do things so they can work for us in our culture, our way we do things, okay? And on top of that, so you've been taken over. You're taken to a foreign country. Don't know anything that's going on. It's a totally different way of life. Probably even got different food. No hamburgers over there, brother. Disappointing. Huh? No cheese on the hamburger? That's disappointing, right? Huh? So just think about this. This is where we're at. Then, in verse 7, they get their names changed. Daniel chapter 1, verse 7. They get their names changed, okay? Not Jackson anymore. We're not going to call you Jackson anymore. You ain't going to have your name anymore. We're going to give you a different name, okay? And what's interesting about these names, I wrote this down because I thought this was pretty cool. Daniel means God is my judge. Cool. That's Daniel's name. Means God is my judge. His is changed to Belteshazzar, which means Bel protect him. Bel is a god of the Babylonians that they worship. So you get your name changed to Belteshazzar. That's a pretty cool name, isn't it? Mephibosheth, that's a cool name. That'd be a cool name, right? Huh? Habakkuk, that'd be cool, right? No? You know what I'm saying? You get your name. Okay, your name has changed. Everything that you know has changed. Your clothes, your food, everything has changed. They're going to even change your name. Daniel, he calls Belteshazzar, which means Bel protect him. His three companions, Hananiah, which means God has been gracious. He gets his change to the command of Aku, which is another god of the Babylonians. Mishael, which means who is what God is. Who is what God is? That's his name. Well, it gets changed to who is what Aku is. Who's what Aku is? They call him Meshach. Then his other companion, oh gosh, Azariah, means the Lord has helped. It's changed to Abednego. It's not one word, it's two. Abednego, which means servant of Nebo, another god of the Babylonians. So you get your name changed. Everything that you are is different. I'm thinking about that. Can you imagine that? Everything you were born and raised and grew up with and know, gone. Even your name is different. They don't call you Matt anymore. They call you Goofhead. Your name is different. That's what these 15-year-old young men were up against. Seems like a lot, doesn't it? I mean, I'm thinking, man, I think I don't want to get up and go to work tomorrow. Doesn't seem like very much, does it? Huh? No. This is what they're up against. It. Okay. So, there's a lot of things that we could look at. I know you guys probably like a lot of this stuff, but there's chapter 2, there's a dream that happens and nobody can interpret it. Chapter 1, I guess they don't want to eat the king's junk food, so they eat vegetables and they look better. Okay, God answers that prayer. God is with these three, four young men. Keep going. Chapter 2, there's a king has a dream. Nobody can interpret it. Daniel's able to. They were all going to be killed. The king put out the decree he's going to kill all the wise men of the whole provinces. They'd kill them all. They couldn't interpret dreams. Daniel's able to interpret dream because God gave him that ability. Keep going here. It's like, wow. Then there's an image of gold in chapter 3. We all know about that. You know what I'm saying? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't know where Daniel's at in all this, but he's gone for some reason in this story. In chapter 3, and I want to read you just a couple verses in chapter 3 because we're going to try to get a handle here. Verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer the king. He says, you guys are going to bow down to this image or I'm going to kill you. I'm going to throw you in a fire so hot it's going to burn you like a tinder paper. Done. And these three young fellows say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, it's not necessary for us to answer you on this point. These are 15-year-old men. Can you imagine where they're at mentally? Where they're at? Listen to this. If our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of your hand, okay. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up, period. Is that some mental fortitude? What? We're going to kill you. You're going to die. You are going to die. I don't really care if you kill me or not, but I'm not going to worship that image. That's some pretty strong faith, don't you think? Huh? Wow. Let's keep going. Chapter 4, there's some stuff goes on. And then chapter 5, there's some stuff going on. And there's a new king, and he takes all the golden vessels from God's house, and they're drinking wine and having a big old party time, and fingers of a man's hand come on the wall, and they write on the wall, Nini, Nini, Tekel, Upharsi. Nobody can interpret those. They call Daniel in. He says, I'm going to give you, king, I'm going to give you gold. I'm going to make you important. Daniel says, you keep your stuff for yourself. And the answer to that, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsi, he says, the interpretation is this. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingship and brought them to an end. Verse 27, verse 5. Tekel, you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. 28. Perez, your kingdom and your kingship are divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And in verse 30 it says, during that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede took the kingdom. He was about 62 years of age. Now get this. Daniel interprets this writing on the wall from the finger. The guy he interprets to is killed that very night. The Medes and the Persians come in and take over. You're going through this again. You came through. You're taken from your homeland. You're brought to Babylon. Then you're taken over by the Medes and Persians. And something that you don't realize at this point, Daniel is 81 or 82 years old. Catching this? Daniel has been in service to a foreign king, in a foreign land with a foreign name for 70 years. Whoa. I don't see any... Huh? You hearing that? No. He's like, you keep your money. I don't want your money. God's going to judge you. So in chapter 6, Daniel is 82 years old. He's Verulton's age. He's Verulton's age. 82. Listen to this. It pleased King Darius to set up over the kingdom 120 satraps who should be in charge throughout the whole kingdom. And over them three presidents, of whom Daniel was one. That these satraps might account to them, give an account to the king, they should have no loss or damage. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was distinguished above the presidents and satraps because an excellent spirit was found in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now check this out. Different name, foreign country, 70 years of service. You think, I'm getting 80 years old. It's time for me to retire. I mean, are you thinking that? No. He's still in service for war. Think about this. He has been through two separate, totally different kingdoms. Two totally separate, different kingdoms. And he is still served. Do you think God had anything to do with that? Duh. Yes. God is keeping Daniel. You know what? King Darius right now, who's king, the second year or third year of his reign, he actually allows the Jews to go back to their homeland and actually pays for them to go back. Isn't that cool? Why? Daniel was one of his very chief advisors. Daniel was an important guy. God had him in a position. He had defied. He's in different kingdoms. He's a foreign guy. Here he is. God is using this man with a different name and a different land to do his will. That's something. You think heaven rules or what? Yeah, heaven rules. Let's keep going. So what happens here? There's some jealousy. People are jealous. You ever notice that? People get jealous. Man. Verse 4 says, the presidents and satraps sought to find an occasion to bring against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they couldn't find any. This guy is upright. There was no error. There was no fault found him. He was an upright. He's a foreign guy with a foreign name in a foreign land serving a foreign king. And they can't find anything wrong with what he's been doing. He's been honest, straightforward, sincere. Huh? He's not corrupt. He don't have any skeletons in his closet. Huh? Like we do, like I do. Huh? Any skeletons in your closet? Huh? They try to find someone, Daniel. They can't find nothing. Nothing. Verse 5. And then they think, well, we can't find anything to bring against him, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they get a little plan going here. These presidents, they come to the king and say, oh, king, live forever. Now back then, when you were a king, they would kind of treat you like a god. When you made a law, you couldn't change it because you were God. You know what I mean? So these guys, in their intelligence, they say, oh, king, live forever. We all got together. All the smart, intelligent, wise, the whole group of us guys. The whole group of us guys. But Daniel wasn't involved in that, was he? We want to make a royal statute that no one can make a decree that whoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days except from you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, I think the king had a little bit of pride thing here. It's like, cool, nobody can ask anything but me. You know what I'm saying? Huh? I think that's where he's at. So they preyed on the king's pride to get this law passed. It's a strange law, but they passed it. So they established this in verse 8. It says, now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing. It may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be altered. All right. So King Darius signs it. It's a law now. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he got down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Now, if the United States makes a law that you are not allowed to pray, we don't want to see you praying, we're going to put you in jail if you pray. We don't want you praying. What you going to do? Okay, I'll listen to the law. Right? No, no. When it comes to the law of God, we got to walk to a different drum. We got to walk to a different drum when it comes to the law of God. If God says it, we have to do it. There's no if, ands, or buts. Now, people have done this before and died following God. You think, wow. So what's going to happen to this Daniel guy? He says, he goes into his house with the windows being open, because in Solomon, when Solomon did the prayer to God, he said, if you're in a foreign country, we want you to pray to this land. He's going to pray to Jerusalem. So he opens the doors, he can see Jerusalem. Okay, David, he did the three, morning, noon, and night, praying to God. He does it in Psalms. He says a lot. So he's got Solomon thing going, I'm praying to Jerusalem. I'm praying three times a day, talking to God. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Daily. You know it's against the law, don't you? You're going to die if you do this, right? Okay. So here we go. Here comes these buddies. Verse 12. They come to the king and they say, boy, didn't you sign something? Didn't you make a law? Didn't you make a decree? Didn't you do something like that? Was nobody allowed to ask anybody for 30 days except you? Should be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, cannot be changed or repealed. Sounds like a professional mumbo-jumbo, doesn't it? Huh? Yeah. Verse 13. Then they said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, does not regard or pay any attention to you, O king, or to the decree which you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Can you just imagine him? They pray three times a day. I can just imagine that little whiny little voice. You know what I'm saying? When the king hears these words, he's kind of disappointed. He's distressed, he says, over what he had done. And he set his mind on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored until the sun went down to rescue him. Now, it almost gives you the impression that the king kind of liked Daniel, didn't he? Kind of liked this guy. This guy's honest. He's sincere. He don't lie. I mean, he's just an all-around good guy. Huh? Well, here we go. Verse 15. The same men came back. The Amplified says, then these same men came thronging by agreement to the king and said, know, O king, that is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree or statute which a king establishes may be changed or repealed. This is the law of the land. You are not allowed to pray. The law of the land. Verse 16. The king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king said to Daniel, may your God, and you serve continually, deliver you. A stone was brought, laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that there might not be no change or purpose concerning Daniel. They kind of reminds you of another story that I heard where Jesus, when he's put in the tomb, remember that? They put that big rock around there and they seal it so no way can get in there. This is a done deal. They throw Daniel in the den of lions. I don't know, was there 2 or 5 or 20? I don't know, it doesn't say. It was a den of lions. It was obviously a type of punishment, some kind of punishment. If you do this, we're going to throw you in there and they're going to eat you. But don't do that. Pretty good way. I mean, that would be a pretty good rule, wouldn't it? I mean, if you go steal something at the grocery, we're going to throw you in the den of lions and they're going to eat you. Think that would deter anybody from stealing, maybe? I don't know. And the lions are hungry. We don't feed them much. They're hungry. Huh? That'd be kind of good, wouldn't it? So, here he is. Daniel's thrown in this lion den. They put a rock over it. There he is. You think Daniel was like, maybe I should pray about this? Do you think that's his thought process? Do you think he was thinking, well, this could be really bad for me? Huh? This could be bad. This could be my last day on earth. This could be the last time I see the sun go down. This could be the end for me. Woe is me. Nothing. Nothing. I'm thinking there's got to be something else going on. If I was over a hole, there's a pit there, and there's lions down there, and they're like, kind of hungry, and I'm like, my stomach's growling too. Oh my, they're hungry too. Oh. Whew, throw you down in there. Would you think, here we go. Huh? Is that what you do? Would you say, Lord, I need you now? Would you say, Lord, I need you now? I need you now, Lord. I need you here now. Verse 18, the king goes to his palace, passes the night fasting, doesn't eat anything, no singing, no dancing, couldn't sleep. Verse 18. Verse 19 says, then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den of into Daniel, he cried out in a voice of anguish. I don't think the king was expecting an answer, was he? Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God. Is your God, whom you serve continually, able to deliver you from the lions? Cricket. Not cricket? No. Verse 21, Daniel says, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the mouths of the lions so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent and blameless before him and also before you, O king. As you very well know, I have done no harm or wrong. Daniel says, he wasn't saying, I'm innocent, I've never sinned. That's not what he's saying. He said, in this thing that's happened to me, I'm innocent. I have not done anything to warrant this happening to me. But he says, God has sent an angel. Could you imagine this Chosen series? You guys watch any of that Chosen series? Nobody watched it? It's biblically based. It is actually 100% biblical. But they take sidetracks. They have the things that they show that you couldn't think, yeah, that could happen. The actual events still happen, but the thought processes and the way people act, and just because people are people, right? So I'm thinking, here's Daniel in a lion's den. Lions all around. I hope they go to sleep soon. You know, I'm in a den. It's cold, okay? You're underground, okay? It's cold. I'm 82 years old. I get cold easy. I'm 82. Maybe I'll curl up with one of them lions. Curl up and get warm, huh? You think? You think? I don't know. You know, you think about stuff like that. It doesn't say. But you think, how awesome was God when Daniel's in that lion and he sees them lions just lay down like, hey, we're not hungry. Maybe one come over sniffing. You ever think about that? Come on. Yeah. He's old. Him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, is that something? You know, I'm just saying. You know what I mean? So what actually happened in that lion's den? I don't know. The only thing we know is God came. He closed the mouths of them lions, and they did not touch Daniel. All night long. He was safe all night long. King comes, says, whew. King live forever. The Lord has delivered me. Verse 23, the king was exceedingly glad and commanded Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no hurt of any kind. He didn't even have a nibble bite. No hurt of any kind was found on him because he believed in his God. Wow! You believe God that much? Do you believe that? Verse 24. And the king commanded, and those men who had accused Daniel were brought cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. Wow. And before they ever reached the bottom of the den, the lions had overpowered them and had broken all their bones in pieces. Sounded like there was some hungry lions down there, doesn't it? I think this is a pretty good thing here to see in verse 24. These lions had their teeth. They had their claws. These guys were hungry. They weren't tame. They were hungry. They wanted to eat something. And Daniel was down there all night, and they never touched him. Wow. And these men that had tried to basically get Daniel killed, didn't they? That's what they wanted, right? They wanted to get rid of this guy. Let's get him killed. Their wives and their children. They threw them all night. All of them died. That seems pretty rough, doesn't it? Two things I want you to remember this. The things that we do show up in our wives and our children. The things that you do, those are going to pass down to your family. They are. So his wives and his children have died. These guys' wives and children died because of what they did. They tried to get rid of a guy that was upright, just, honest, faithful, trustworthy, a good guy. And then the king makes a decree. I don't know that the king actually was what we call saved. But I think the king had a pretty good idea that when these lions did not touch Daniel, And when they threw them other guys in there, and they see him just like, blood, got a bad deal. Yeah. Maybe he does serve a living God. Maybe this God is in control. Maybe this God does rule from heaven. Maybe he's just God. He's a living God. Huh? Because they're praying to these woods and gold and junk. They don't answer. They don't do nothing. They just sit there. This is a living God who actually acted on a situation and brought Daniel through it. Unhurt, unharmed, unscathed. Isn't that something? Can you believe that? That's what he's talking about when you pray. You have the peace of God. Did you think Daniel had peace in that lion's den? Whew. Huh? Wouldn't have any fingernails left, probably, would you? Huh? You know what I'm saying? Huh? I'm thinking, wow, he's in there all night. I wonder if he fell asleep. Keep looking at them lions. Was there actually a physical presence of an angel? He could feel that power and knew that God was there. Whoa. Huh? You know, when I sing, I praise the Lord with the singing. I really do. And it's part of me. It's who I am. Huh? And I feel that power of God. It's like, man, that's awesome. Isn't that something? You just want to go, woo-hoo, yippee! Huh? Huh? That's the situation you got here. Damn, like, yes! Huh? God does answer prayer. God is there. He's alive. He's my God. Heaven rules. Huh? That's the mindset we have to have. We have to say, you know what? I guess it doesn't really matter if a lion's eating or not. I'm still not going to obey your laws. Wow. Wow. Same little something, isn't it? I'm still not going to obey your law. King makes a decree. He says, I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring and steadfast forever, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end of the earth. He is a Savior and Deliverer. And he works signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of lions. I think this king got a handle on just exactly who Daniel served. He served a Savior, living God. And he was trustworthy. He was trustworthy. And even if he takes you home, that place is prepared for us. That heaven place, it's going to be pretty awesome. I'm telling you, it's going to be pretty awesome. It's going to be cool. I don't know what it's even going to be like. I have no idea. We have little glimpses of pieces and parts and pictures. And it's just going to be an awesome thing. And we can think about it. Cool. But remember, you choose to go. God laid out the plan. Very simple. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, as your personal Lord and Savior. He sets out that plan. It's easy. You have to choose to accept it. Your choice. No one can make it for you. I can't make it for you. Your mom and dad can't make it for you. Your brothers and sisters can't make it for you. You have to make it for yourself. It's a choice you made. And choosing not to choose is already making a choice. You think when you pray to God, you have the peace that Daniel had? When that peace comes on you, when you know God is working in your situation, regardless of what it looks like on the outside, regardless of what the laws of the land say, knowing that God is in control. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you are in control. You're in the driver's seat, Father. Even when it doesn't look like there's nothing going on behind the scenes, Father, we know without a doubt that your kingdom will come. We know without a doubt, Father, that in the end, when this is done, all said and done, you will still reign supreme. You are God. Father, I have to thank you that you love us so much that you set out this plan of salvation. Father, we can accept you as our personal Lord and Savior. And we we can spend eternity with you in heaven. Oh, Father, we praise you. Father, we love you this morning. I just pray that we can get a hold of these prayers that we have. We can pray to you and know that you are working, delivering, guiding, working in the midst, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes. You are in our midst. You see us, and Father, we are not alone. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We love you. Thank you for this time, Father. We're going to look at your word and realize you are God. Thank you. We love you, Father. In the precious name we pray. Amen. The praise team comes forward. The elders come forward. We offer this time every week. This is a time for prayer for you. This is a time we can take you before the throne of the Almighty God. And we can believe that He is going to work in your situation, in your life. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior,